Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey guys, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And on this week's show, we are defining, or may I say, we are asking the question, what type of Disney park fan are you?
It's a great question. So I sat around and looked at different park goers, right? When you go to the Disney parks, you're going to run into all different types of people and groups and so I started putting pen to paper and I thought, man, what kind of Disney park fan am I? So I started putting together this list. I ran it by you. We thought it was a fun idea. So that's a good place to start. Like, we are not trying to make fun of any group.
Yes, we are. Just be honest.
We're poking fun at ourselves. It's just interesting when you go to the park to see some of the different consistent, what's the word we decided we're going to use? Idiosyncrasies that different people bring as groups generally across the board. We've gone to parks, the Disney parks, a lot over the past 5 to 10 years. And
10 years, yeah.
10 years. It seems to be that these are some consistent groups. We're not going to get them all. There's too many.
Yeah.
But we're going to try and hit the top 8 or 9, 10.
And it's quite possible that, I know this will apply to us, but it's going to be possible that you will fall into multiple categories here.
Oh yeah, there's some crossover. So that's a good point too. Thanks for bringing that up. There's definitely crossover of who you are and which group you fall into. Maybe you're a little bit of this, but you're 80% more of that. And so there's subgroups, right? Like within the group, there's also these types of people that bring this other, you know, characteristic or idiosyncrasy or whatever word you want to use there. This is where we're missing one of our co-hosts, Randy, because he has a plethora of vocabulary.
A plethora?
And so we miss him on these episodes where we need to sound like we're intelligent, but we use big words to hide that we're not intelligent. Anyways, let's get into
show. It's almost like Dak's about to give a lecture at a university.
Yeah.
Talking about groups and subgroups and
yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Let's get into the type of people that we are.
Let's do it.
Let's
okay.
do it.
So in no particular order, this is not a list or a ranking or anything like that. It's just as they came to me, I wrote them down. And so that's the order that we're going in. So first and foremost, I think you have the newbies, right? So these are your, you know, if we were in cowboy days, we'd call them greenhorns or, you know, noobs is what the kids call them now when noobs. On the video game, rookies, right? So, and I think within the newbie group or the rookie group, there's two categories right off the bat. There's your first group, in my opinion, that's been planning this trip for 3 years. They've just been, you know, figuring it out, doing research, putting together a game plan, and they are now finally, you know, they've been planning it for the last 2.5 years, and now they're heading to the parks. And I just think that that's a big group of who you run into, your first timers there at the parks. And they are just, to me, I have a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for this group of people because, I mean, as many times as I've been, there's nothing like seeing someone experience the parks for the first time and the joy and excitement that you see in their eyes, especially little kids, right?
For sure.
That first time, it is so magical. And so I love this group.
And yeah, you will often find this group with a park map stop in the middle of the main street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out and don't really know what they're doing, but they are definitely there. Now, another subcategory of this group is the absolute last minute goers. So these are your newbies. But they planned this trip yesterday, and they're here at the parks today.
Okay.
And they are holding up the line everywhere they go, right? To your point, they're stopping in the middle of Main Street. They're can't figure out how to check in and get through the turnstiles. It's just...
What's mobile order?
Yeah. They just did not realize that Disney is a huge event. It's not just a vacation, right? Like, this is not like going to, you know, your local vacation spot that's 3 hours from your house. This is a destination that takes planning and strategy and organization, and they just show up.
Yeah.
We all know this person, right? Like, they just, hey, let's go to Disney tomorrow, next week. And they just go.
And there's nothing wrong with that person. It's just, you wonder, because when they come back from their vacation, a lot of times it's like, oh, Disney sucked.
Yeah.
Like, it was so crowded and hot and, you know, couldn't figure out how to get food. And, it's part, because you planned this thing for, you know, 2 days before you left.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right. So that's our newbie group.
All right. The newbies.
All right. The next group, I think, unfortunately, falls on the shoulders of a lot of dads. But I call it the I really don't want to be here group.
Yeah.
So unfortunately,
you probably know someone that falls into this group.
Yeah. Like, they are going out of obligation to a wife, a family, a friend, but they really don't want to be at Disney. They would rather be golfing or hunting or anything else, right? Than being at a Disney vacation. Sometimes you'll see these guys, again, I'm classifying this as primarily the dad group, right? They want to exert their masculinity and their gruffness, and they want to, you know, wear the shirt that says, you know, broke or whatever. Like, they are clearly defining in every body language, facial expression that they can, that I just don't want to be here. And they can't seem to get over the hump of, like, just letting it go and enjoying themselves.
And we may know a few people like that.
Yeah. Or they're just too cool, right?
Yeah.
I'm too cool to be here. I'd rather be somewhere else.
All I got to say about that is they haven't had the magic touch them yet.
They need to be touched.
They need to be touched by the magic, you know, because once the magic gets a hold of you, that gruffness, that rough exterior slowly melts away.
And listen, to be fair, I have said this many times. I was this guy, right? So my very first trip to Disney, I was this is going to be too expensive. Why are we doing this? This is a waste of our time. And I was a growing up Disney fan, right? Watched Disney movies on TV as a kid growing up, loved Disney movies, but just let the other external factors of cost and travel and all of these things make me grumpy about going. But again, to your point, I got there 2 days in and I'm like, I'm hooked. Like, I love this place. Let's go.
Yeah. And if you see Dak there nowadays, you may still think that he is a grumpy guy. I mean, he's, you know, 6'2", 240 pounds of, you know, solid muscle.
And Mickey ice cream bars.
And Mickey ice cream bars.
Yeah.
But, you know, what he may look like, a grumpy old man, but he's actually probably, you know, pontificating life while sitting at on a bench at Disney. So
I'm singing Let It Go.
That's right. No, Dak always has a smile on his face at Disney. I'm just making fun of him.
For sure. All right, here we go. So group three. These might be, some of these might have some personality types that are a little annoying, and this is that group. So these are the collectors.
Yeah.
So in my mind, what I'm thinking of is that Marvel movie on Guardians where you have the guy who is the collector and he has all these different objects in his house or temple or whatever it is that he stays in. People are going to kill me because I'm not getting it right. But at Disney, you have these people that they're the pin collectors. They're the merch collectors. They're going to get the new popcorn bucket the minute it drops. And they come in packs and swarms like wolves, right? That are just attacking the stores and getting as much merchandise and collectibles as possible. They're not there for the rides. They're not there for the entertainment, the parades, nothing. They are there for the merchandise.
Yeah, and I would say a lot of, again, based on some of the Disney threads that I follow, I would say a lot of people have a hard time with the collectors. Because they do get in there and they do swoop up a lot of the merchandise. Like you said, these for whatever reason, these popcorn buckets they come out with just seem to be a hot ticket item.
Yeah.
You know, the Figment buckets, the R2-D2 buckets or whatever they may be. And these things will go on eBay for $150.
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
Because you only can get them in the parks.
Right.
So, and maybe this is kind of a fun thing to say, is like, there is something called, you have Disney park merchandise and you have Disney merchandise. So the Disney merchandise, you can find at Target, you can find at Walmart, you can find a lot of stores, but there is a specific Disney park merchandise that you can only find in one of the parks.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting, you know, at home in Oklahoma and you're like, hey, I want that new popcorn bucket that just came out. Well, you can't get the Disney right away. You're going to go to eBay.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay $150 because there are people, like you said, that go there and they will scoop up 5 to 6 to 8. And I think Disney has tried to curb some of this.
Sure. Yeah.
But people are finding ways
to get around it.
To get around it.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to say anything negative about, we're too negative.
Yeah.
About and, these people. But.
And again, another part of this group is those pin collectors. So if you're not familiar with this, if you see people walking around the parks, they have their pins, or if you ever watch the movie Office Space, their flare, right?
Yes.
Their Disney flare, right? And you can trade these back and forth, and it's a big deal. They have stations set up throughout the parks where kids and adults will go and trade these Disney pins with each other. It's almost like baseball cards or, you know, something along those lines where you're actively doing this, you know, pin trading throughout the park. And it's big.
It's a big deal.
It's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Next group is the planner, is what I call him. So, or we jokingly called him the Franklin Covey planners, right? So these are your guests that absolutely map out every moment, every minute, every second, every meal, every ride, like the number of steps that you are going to take in a day.
Excel is their best friend.
Yes. Yeah. They got a spreadsheet. They know exactly, we're waking up at 8:03. We will be at the parks at 8:27. We will be rope dropping at 8:35. Like, they know their day to the minute. And it's amazing because they do. They plan it all out. My word of caution to you, Franklin Covey planners, is get ready. Like, no Disney vacation in my mind, in my experience, has ever gone to plan. There is always the unavoidable in a park experience, right? A meltdown, a ride breakdown, whatever it is, right? Like, there's always something that cannot be planned or scheduled or thought of.
And a lot of times, and this is where some of the groups will overlap, like a Venn diagram, right? A lot of times these Uber planners are families. You will see these families and they'll be dressed up in matching outfits, right?
Yeah.
They will have the backpack full of snacks and treats and water bottles. And, you know, everybody looks so pristine with their Mickey ears. Like, that's kind of this planning group that's like, they also plan every other aspect of their life this way, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know, which is not a bad thing.
No.
We're not making fun of this group at all.
We're not making fun of any group here.
But this is a very specific group at Disney, like these planners that will, like you said, plan to the T. Like, and you can go on right now. Hey, I want a Disney itinerary. And you can find literally websites where people will sell you or maybe give you, hey, if you're going to Magic Kingdom this day, here's the itinerary. This is what you do first, second, third, and so on. So, and some people just operate that way.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah. I do not either. But I mean, here's the funny thing about it is, again, no one group has something about them that is not beneficial, right?
Correct.
You have to plan to go to
100%.
Yeah. Like, we talked about the newbie that just showed up 2 days ago. They're going to have a horrible experience. The one thing I can guarantee you about the planner, other than over planning, is that they're going to have a very good experience because they're going to get to do a lot of the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
It's, if I had to choose one person to go to the parks with over the other, it would not be the guy that just showed up 2 days ago that doesn't know what he's doing. So the planners have their purpose and they are awesome.
Yeah. We should get t-shirts, the Franklin Cubbies. Start selling those. I guess we couldn't because that's probably copyrighted material. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Next group. You ready for this? These are your social media influencers, your Instagrammers.
Yeah.
These are a group of people. So a lot of, again, a lot of people get frustrated by this group of people because, again, what's interesting is their focus is not necessarily the rides and the park experience. They're there to get pictures. They're there to create content. They're there to, you know, show you the new food items that just came out. They're there to build an audience, right? Which is interesting. It's funny to me that Disney has become so large and so ingrained into our culture that we have this subgroup of our culture that is all about showing us more of Disney or more of whatever, right? Social media is huge. But it's just amazing to me that we as a society consume what these social media influencers and planners put out. Or not planners, social media Instagrammers. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry.
Well, and it's funny too, because a lot of times you'll see these people in the parks and they're like staging a photo or they're like making a pose and you're like, gosh, that's so freaking ridiculous. But you're also at the same time, like you're checking your own Instagram page daily. Oh, this person just posted this new treat.
Absolutely.
I need to go check out this new treat at Disney World.
Yeah. We need them.
Like we need these influencers because they're showing us things that we probably would not get to see or experience had we not checked their page.
No, right. This is how we consume information now.
Yeah.
Like I rarely go to Disney Parks blog, right? I mean, it is one of the sites that I visit, but I'm much more on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok consuming that information of what is new in the parks than I am just going to the Disney Parks blog sites.
Yeah.
Like we need them.
We do. But here's what we do not condone. The people that jump off the bridge at Epcot into the lake for views.
Yeah.
That is the quickest way to get yourself banned for life from the park. So
absolutely.
Pictures of yourselves with, you know, treats and characters and, you know, front of buildings, 100% acceptable.
Yeah.
Doing stupid things that are dangerous that'll get you banned. Yeah. That's not cool.
No good. Yeah. And I think to wrap up this topic, I think Disney knows that this group exists for sure. They create their food. They create spots in the parks that are all quote unquote Instagram worthy, right? Yeah. Like their food design, the way the food is presented to you is beautiful. And I think that has been heavily influenced by Instagrammers and TikTokers and this group, right? And there are specific areas in the park that you go. You know, I'm thinking of one in the Magic Kingdom, the Purple Wall, right? Where it's the kind of the Epcot design on a wall in Magic Kingdom. And it's Instagram famous, right? Because this group loves to take pictures in front of it for whatever reason.
Well, and too, if you remember, and I don't know if they still have these, but they used to have these signs, a Nikon photo spot, right? Where at that sign was going to be, this is the shot, right? This is where you want to take photos. And there's one in front of the Magic Kingdom. There was one at Epcot. I'm not sure if they still have those signs out. I'm not sure if Nikon is still a sponsor there, but Disney is so, like, they want people taking pictures.
Absolutely.
Like they want their IP plastered all over the world. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, here we go. So the next two groups are going to be in stark competition with each other or opposition of each other. Okay. So the first group, that's funny that I use the word competition. The first group, I call them the competition group. So these are your thrill seekers. Like they are looking to take advantage of every possible minute of the park that they can. And their only goal is a factor of my time divided by the number of rides that I get to go on and experience. And so that's all that matters. They are sun up to sundown, rope dropping, you know, running, not running physically, but they don't care about what they're eating. Eating is a hassle because that is cutting into their ride time.
They're looking to get in 25,000 steps.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. It's funny that we're saying this. I think I'm going to call him out. Randy, one of our co-hosts, I think he falls into this group. Like he is what is the most activity that I can do in a given day to maximize my day.
And if he were here, he would agree with you.
I hope so. And what's funny is this group also, they're not interested in the Dumbos or the magic flying carpets of Aladdin.
No, not at all.
Like they are hitting the big rides as many times as they can. They're gaming the system as far as lightning lanes or virtual queues or whatever it is they need to do to maximize as much of the ride experience and the park experience that they possibly can. Anything else you got on those guys?
No.
All right.
That's so a good group.
I think,
but, I guess I will say this, like, you kind of want a person like that in your group.
Oh, for sure.
You know, because that, like you said, that person tends to know how to game the system. They tend to know a lot of the shortcuts to either get to a place or to how to get around a loop. Like there's loopholes in the system, right?
Yeah.
That person, and like I said, let's call Randy out. Randy's that person. Like
he is.
He knows how to do things in a certain way that will allow you to maximize your time in the parks.
Absolutely.
Because if you're there with a greenhorn who's never been there, like that person is going to get 30% done of what they could possibly do during the day. You go to the park with Randy or a person from that group, their goal is to get 100% done.
Yeah.
And they're going to get pretty close every single time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be exhausted at the end of the day.
Yeah, because you're going to have 25,000 steps and you're going to walk, 13, 14 miles in a day.
Yeah.
And your shins are going to be burning.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So in stark contrast to that person, to me, is probably the group that I personally fall in the most. And I call them the vibe chasers.
Okay.
So a vibe chaser is not there for the rides. They will enjoy the rides, but they more absorb the park as a whole. They're not as worried about getting on each ride because to them, the attraction is the parks. And what I mean by that is they are fine with being very casual. They probably stroll down Main Street, maybe sit down and take a break. Even though they started their day 30 minutes ago, they'll sit on a park bench. They'll take in the different details of the park, the plant life, the experience, the history, the overall experience is what they're looking for. And that, to me, is me 100%, which I think drives the competition and the time crunchers absolutely insane. It's got to, because we're more about the ambiance of the parks. And if I went to the parks one day as a vibe chaser and never rode on one ride, I might say that's one of the best days in the parks I've ever had. Right? Like that's what it is to me. So any commentary there?
Well, I think I'm a combination of both. I have been there at times when I am the vibe chaser where I just want to chill. I just want to take all the sights and the sounds in. Kind of do some exploring. And then I've been there at times when I'm like, all right, I've got 6 hours today. I want to get as much done as I can in those 6 hours. So for me, it just depends. I don't have a preference. I think it's how I feel when I get there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I think part of like, if you were to go there as a family or with a group of friends, again, you're going to have people that fit into each one of these groups that we're talking about. Right. And there is a good blend. Like you can take, let's say you have four or five of these personalities, you can come to a consensus. Right. But it's also okay to say, hey, we don't need to be together the entire day. Like if you're the kind of person that's like, I need to go. And the other person in the group's like, hey, I want to sit on this bench and sip some hot chocolate and watch a parade. Then maybe you just split up for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I think that's what makes our guys trip so fun is that we don't feel like, oh yeah, we have to spend every waking hour together. It's like, no, we got these two guys are going to go do this. Those three guys are going to go do that. We're going to meet up here, eat some lunch and hang out, anyway. So yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're a great blend of the two of those for sure. When it comes to your personality and how you Disney.
I like to think I was more of a vibe chaser, but I can also see myself when I get there, like, all right, I want to get over to Tron before, because I'm excited because going here in spring break, my wife and my kids have never done Tron. And I'm like, well, now that Tron is standby, I don't feel the need to pay $100 for it to, you know, to pay for the lightning lane.
Yeah.
So let's rope drop and let's get there.
Yeah.
Or let's last ride of the night. Let's go wait in line for it. You know, anyway. So.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right. Two more groups, and then we'll maybe talk about some subgroups that kind of fall into that spread out over all of these groups. Last two groups I have, in no particular order, I think is your super fan. So again, I think I touch this group as well. I think anytime you're going to the parks multiple times a year, you are a Disney Parks super
fan. Well, and I think too, if you have a podcast, you probably consider yourself to be a super fan.
Yes. Yeah. That definitely falls in that classification. Yeah. So these are the, I mean, this is us, right? Like you're wearing Disney gear all the time, not just in the parks. You're wearing it to the grocery store on a Tuesday afternoon, right? Like you're proudly sporting your Disney gear. You could be blindfolded and probably walk through the parks and give someone better directions that is, you know, not blindfolded. You could walk them through the parks, right? I mean, super fans, there's even like Disney bounding. Are you, you're familiar with this, right?
I'm very familiar with Disney bounding, yeah.
Disney bounding, for those of you who don't know, is where you dress up as a character, but not in character, right? So you're wearing colors and schemes and outfits that kind of hint to the idea that you are dressed up today as Winnie the Pooh.
Well, and I think to maybe further explain this, is that Disney actually has a very specific policy. Like if you were younger than 14, you or 12 or 14, it's fine that you dress up like a princess. If you were older than that, you cannot be in, like you cannot dress like a character. That's forbidden.
Yeah, totally against.
Like you will get kicked out or you'll be forced to change your clothing. If you're a 35-year-old woman, you come dressed like Belle, they're going to ask you to change or they're going to ask you to leave.
Yeah.
Because they don't want the kids confused with who the actual princess is. Right.
For sure. Yeah. They want to protect that IP. But as a countermeasure to that, right, that person that's wants to dress up as a character but can't dress up as the character, she'll put on a yellow dress. It might be accented in blue, or she'll wear that kind of that baby Carolina blue outfit of her. And so it's just one of these things that people do. It's fun. I mean, they've designated a day for this. Again, Disney feeds into this, right? Like they're okay with it as long as you play within their rules.
Yeah.
But you have your Dapper Dan's day or Dapper Days. They don't call it Dapper Dan's, but Dapper Days, where you dress up in these, you know, outfits and wear them to the parks.
And people do a great job with it.
Oh, 100%.
100% they do a great job with it.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing I'd say about your super fan is like, they are inserting themselves into any Disney conversation that exists anywhere, right? So two strangers are talking on a park bench.
I may do this from time to time.
And all of a sudden they bring up, hey, we're thinking about going to Disney. And all of a sudden the ears perk up, right? You're like a dog that's just heard treat, right? And so you start to insert yourself. You're giving directions to people in the parks, right? Like you're an unofficial cast member that's helping people out. So anyways, that's the Disney super fan, which again, firmly place myself in that category from time to time.
Yeah. You've considered getting business cards for
real
yourself.
Estate. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you've considered real estate in Florida or California to be closer to the parks. Right.
My name is Ryan. Here's my business card.
Yeah.
I'm a super fan. Let me talk to you about Disney.
For sure. And then our last official group, I think, is your locals. So these, for a lot of people, this might be, for the super fan, this is the dream category that you want to graduate to. So a local is just that, right? You live in the area. You're going to the parks. The beautiful thing about it is you may pop in on a Wednesday afternoon at 4 to grab some dinner, ride a couple of rides. You know, you are just casually going in and out of the parks. You know, you're not worried about getting there at a certain time. You're not worried about leaving at a certain time because you know you'll probably be back there in 2 or 3 days. And the locals, I think there's a little bit of a, I don't know what I want to call it, like a status of like, hey, I'm a local. I own the park is mine. You know, there's a little bit of ownership that they take over the parks.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
And there used to be, they don't have this anymore, but there used to be an Epcot After 4 annual pass just for locals.
Yeah.
It'd get you into Epcot after 4 o'clock any day you wanted to go. for that reason. People would just want to go eat dinner, walk around the World Showcase. It just would be Epcot after 4 o'clock. That was a cool annual pass.
Yeah, so for sure. All right. And then we'll just do a couple of little subgroups. So within, smattered within, if that's a word, smeared in with each of these groups, I think you have two other subgroups. You have the penny pinchers, right? These are the people that are just, again, you want this person in your group to a certain extent, but this is the person who's looking for every deal, bringing food into the parks,
yep.
You know, packing a lunch, looking for any way they can possibly save money to go to the parks. I just think that that person...
there's probably a little bit of that person in everybody.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, no one wants to just frivolously spend money, right? Yeah. Or waste money. But I think that there can be an extreme side of the penny pincher as well, where you're always looking for such a great deal, which is really hard to do with Disney nowadays, right?
Yeah, you're probably not getting dining reservations. You're not doing the Lightning Lane or the Park Hopper. You're keeping this trip. We're buying tickets, and that's it.
Yeah,
staying off site. We're gonna bring our food in. Like, and to be honest, we've done that before.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's not a bad way to Disney. Like, it's, if you're trying to make this affordable and economic, I mean, get you some sub sandwiches in the morning, throw them in a backpack. Back when we had small kids with a stroller,
sure,
because it was easy to just I'm gonna put a case of water in the bottom of the stroller with a bunch of sandwiches and snacks and chips and fruit snacks, and it actually wasn't. It was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, no,
to do it that way.
Again, this is not to knock on any particular group. I think, again, it's nice to know one of these people, right? Because Disney can get out of hand real fast when it comes to finances.
And it's usually those people that know about how to do this. Because a lot of people don't know that you can bring your own food in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And so I think, again, knowing a planner, knowing a penny pincher, knowing the thrill seeker, it's these are good things, right?
Yeah.
I think our last group, I don't know if this guy is as good for the overall group experience, but it's the foodie, right? So Disney, again, we talked on this a little bit earlier when it came to the social media people. The social media people are there to take the picture of the food. The foodies are there to consume it, right? Like, that is their sole purpose, is they just love Disney food. Listen, I'm in this group.
I think you're describing us right now.
But this is the person, like, they have to try the new thing. They have to experience all the food. And again, their goal is not to get on as many rides as they can. Their goal is to go from one snack to the next, to the advanced dining reservation, to the quick service, to the snack. Like, they want to experience all the goodies and food that can come with Disney.
Yeah. So here's kind of a mini magical scenario. So I would ask you this, and I'm going to ask you to answer for Randy, who's not here. If I were to give you, I'm going to give you three Lightning Lanes to any ride of your choice, Guardians, Tron, Tower of Terror, no waiting in line. I'm going to give you three of those for the day, or I'm going to give you a buffet of your choice and a quick service of your choice. Which one would you choose?
Boy, that's tough.
Yeah.
That shows you how much of a foodie and a ambiance guy I am. A vibe chaser.
Because I'm taking the food.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah. I think Randy probably would take the rides.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, food is his energy source to get him to the next ride. I think he loves food. He enjoys food. But I think when he's at the parks, again, his goal is to accomplish the rides, right? Like, he loves to go to, and again, I'm not knocking this. This is not a negative connotation on Randy and the way he does Disney. I think it's ingrained in him that it's almost like a competition to be able to say, I was able to ride 14 rides today, you know, Pirates twice, Tron twice, Guardians three times if I could.
Yeah.
Like, he loves that. And again, you want Randy on your team. That would be funny, is if we had to draft these characters, like, and, ooh, but you only get four of them.
Yeah.
Who are you taking? Like, who's part of your group? Who's your super group of Disney park fans and you know who you would want. I would probably leave the vibe chaser out because, well, not for me. If it was me leading the group, I would want more vibe chasers.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, yeah.
But it, if you want to have the ultimate Disney experience, because I realize as a vibe chaser, I'm probably not appealing to a lot of people who go to Disney to experience other things about like the main things of Disney, which are the shows, the attractions, you know, those things. And so as a vibe chaser, I'm like, hey, look at this guy's name on the window in Main Street. Did you know that he was blah, 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 blah. And he, you know, was the Imagineer for this ride. And most people are like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to go ride the ride that, you know, he created, not see his name on a window, but I geek out on that stuff. Yeah, and so I get that that would like frustrate a lot of people.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think for me, I would choose the meals and wait in the line for the rides.
I would too. Cause I love the buffets there. I'm a huge Disney buffet guy.
Yeah.
And, I would definitely take that.
Assuming you're saying it's the buffet of my choice.
The buffet of your choice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking that.
Yeah. And if you give, like, for example, Randy, we use Randy as an example here, but if you're, hey, I'm going to give you three lightning lanes to Guardians if you know, or a free buffet, which one are you taking?
No, he's taking,
he's probably Guardians. Taking the three lightning lanes.
Not even a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah. give me the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, man, I hope this was a fun show.
It was, man.
I love talking about this. Again, we're not trying to offend anybody. We all have these little quirks about us that, you know, are lovable quirks. And so don't be offended by this.
Yeah.
This is all in good fun.
Well, and I think we forgot a group.
Oh.
Because I'm thinking about our guys trip.
Oh, boy.
Back in January of last year. So this is what our we had 10 guys come with us. And if you know, speaking of types of groups here, the photo taker, right? And again, like
we did have one.
Not like not offending, like every group needs this. Like, yes. So our good friend Adam,
my wife,
our good friend Adam, who came on the show with us last year.
Yes.
He is the photo taker. So oftentimes as we were walking throughout the parks, we would look around and say, hey, where'd Adam go? Well, he was three attractions ago taking photos. And you're like, well, we just got to keep moving. But when the
trip was done,
when the trip was over,
yeah,
we're like, hey, Adam, can you send us some pictures?
Yeah, and they were awesome.
And they were. Well, he's like a semi-professional photographer, you know? So it's like, we need Adam. Because he was taking, I mean, not, he was fun to hang out with, but,
no, for sure.
You know, but because he was taking all those pictures, he would, you know, at oftentimes have to catch up with us.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
But again, like you said, the pictures that he took were fantastic.
Yeah.
And just, I still have most of them on my phone. I pull 100%. Them up all the time. Yeah. I'm like, this was great. Like you need a photo taker.
Yeah.
On your trip.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, listen, tell us what group or even subgroup do you fall in? What kind of Disney fan are you? So answer the question for us. Give us a like and a follow on Instagram, TikTok. We talked about social media influencers. So we have these sites, obviously. We'd love to hear from you on them.
We're not influencers.
We're not influencers.
No, we're barely... I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
we post like, what, maybe once a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But we'd love to hear from you. So give us a like and a follow. Give us a review on the show. We'd love to hear your comments. And thanks for listening.
Share it with your family and friends.
Absolutely.
Till next time.